Bid you welcome to the gospel meeting tonight in the Saviour's name. As our text that we look at every week says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. And that's the text that we have in the entrance as you come in, and that's how we want to approach the Lord. Good to see all. We're going to begin with our opening praise, 224. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I'm sure your hearts have been stirred, even listening to our organist and pianist as they played tonight, thinking of the hymns that they've played. And now we come to this opening hymn. As we worship God, let's have good singing unto the Lord's great name. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord tonight. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, in the worthy and the precious name of thy dear Son, we approach the throne of heavenly grace. We come on redemption ground as always, for we have no other thing that we can plead, no other way that we can come. It's Jesus, thy blood and thy righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. It is through our Redeemer that we come, and we stand upon redemption ground, rejoicing in our dear Saviour and in the precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Thank thee for this hymn that reminds us of the blood of the Redeemer. We're glad tonight that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he's the living Saviour, alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of the Father, and yet very much present with his people on earth as we gather in his name. So we come to this church tonight. We know that the Lord is here. We know that he's sitting with us. It is his desire to be present where his people meet. And he's given the guarantee of that very immediate sense of his presence. Come, Lord Jesus, and abide with us. Be one of our number. Make us very conscious in our minds and hearts that the God of glory is here, that our dear Savior is abiding with us tonight in this service. We pray that the chief part of this meeting will be that conscious reality that the Lord is here. It is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast of any gathering. And when Jesus comes near, Lord, that makes the difference. And those are the meetings that we want. That's the desire and the longing of our heart. And as we come to the house of God, whether it's on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, the prayer meeting, Bible study, other times too, that the Lord will be there in the midst of the gathering and speaking to us and communing with our souls. We thank you that God speaks through his word and through the preaching of the word. It has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Lord, there was that time when we were brought into contact with your word, when the gospel was presented to us. Think of meetings that we sat in just like this. Think of missions that we attended when there was that concentrated effort of the gospel going forth night by night. Think of those other times when a witness was made to us by a friend or a family member concerned about our souls. Think, Lord, of gospel tracts that were put into our hands. And all these things, Lord, came together to enlighten us and give us understanding in the things of God. And Lord, you brought us to that place of faith and repentance. You opened our minds and our hearts to the gospel. You showed us what we were in reality before a holy God, sinners, condemned and unclean, and deserving nothing but the eternal wrath of God forevermore in that dreadful place called hell. You showed us, Lord, that there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves, for we were unrighteous and undone in thy sight. And all the sin that we had committed in the sight of God through our lifetime, there was nothing that we could do to take away that sin. But Lord, you showed us that there was a Redeemer who came in the fullness of time, lived among men a perfect life of obedience to the law, righteously representing us in this world, living that life that we could never live as our substitute, and not only living on our behalf, but dying for us at the cross of Calvary, taking our place fully, the wrath of God being poured out upon Christ, so that we that deserved that wrath forever in hell could be set free and saved by your grace. Lord, you brought us to that place where we turned from our sin. We believed the gospel. By faith, we laid hold upon the only remedy, Christ himself. And that's where we are tonight. We're still standing upon redemption ground. We're still trusting in the merit of the Savior's blood. We look not to ourselves. We look not to our works. We look not to the church that we attend. We look to nothing else. Lord, we look to Christ alone. And this is where we stake our whole eternity. We have ventured all upon the atoning sacrifice. And that's where we are as your people, washed and redeemed and saved by grace. And Lord, we're going to heaven. We're glad about that. And we know that Christ is coming back to receive his church. We've been singing about the bridegroom coming. And there is that challenge all the way through concerning being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, there are those that are not ready. They're not prepared for that day. neither the day of the coming of the Saviour or the day of their death. And if they were to meet Christ in the state in which they are spiritually, it would be doom for them and destruction forevermore. If they were to leave this life through death, it would be out into a Christless eternity forever. And Lord, for such we plead for now, in the name of our dear Saviour, that thou wilt lay hold upon them and show them that Christ is the answer for their lives tonight. He's the answer for their sin. He's the answer for their eternity. And Lord, may they be awakened in grace and seek Christ. To this end, we pray for the blessing of God to attend the meeting, that as we sing and worship together, as we hear your word read and preached upon, that this will be a time when we will meet with God, that there will be an encounter with thee. Help your servant who has come to minister the word this day. You helped him this morning, and Lord, we pray again tonight that you'll take him up and use him for your glory. Bless the ministry that he's been involved in these days in Northern Ireland. Think of the convention down there in Enniskillen in our Bethel Church, and think of the word that was preached night by night. Think of those that gathered and benefited from your word. And Lord, we pray that that precious seed will live on, not just for a few days, but for weeks, months, even years to come, and have a mighty and powerful effect. Help us not to be forgetful in the things of God. Help us, Lord, not to be disobedient either. We are to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word, to be obedient to the Lord. May that be so. And so bless this congregation. Bless our sister Noreen with us tonight. Think of these days on deputation as she visits our churches. Lord, travel with her, keep her safe in her journeys. Make her a blessing to the congregations as she tells of the work in Uganda. Thank thee for an open door at Emmanuel. Thank thee, Lord, for what you've been doing there, for souls that have been saved, hundreds of people that have found the Lord in that school and in that mission station. And Lord, we thank you for news in recent weeks of people getting right with God and trusting in Christ. We pray that you'll bless the work there. Bless the work in Kenya. Remember our other mission stations throughout the world as well, both those that are near and near at home and those that are afar. Think of our sister Joy here tonight. We pray that you'll bless the ministry of your word in Spain and use Jose and others that we know and love that have gone out from our own church too to be pastors and missionaries there. We pray that in that most Catholic country that the light of the glorious gospel will dawn upon thousands of hearts and there'll be a move of God in reformation and revival. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. For your name's sake we pray. Amen and amen. We bid you welcome at this part of the service tonight in the Saviour's name. A very warm welcome to you. The weather's been good. We came from good weather. We were away for a few days, as you know, and we hear of the excellent weather that was here last week, but there's been a wee turn today and some rain and some thunder and lightning and so forth. But nonetheless, we're here tonight to worship the Lord. If you're visiting with us, a special word of welcome to you. And if you're listening on the internet tonight, whether it's through Sermon Audio, Facebook or YouTube, you're welcome to be part of this worship service tonight. Refreshments will be served. We do this through the summertime, and you're welcome to stay for some good things to eat. We've been planning towards Youth Challenge, and it's now right on the doorstep. Tomorrow through to Friday night, and then of course the parents' night next Sunday night will be Youth Challenge. We have introduced this year a football camp in the afternoon. Almost 90 children signed up for that from 2:30 to 5. And then coming down to the church, the children will be fed here. They will stay on for the activities and the meeting at night. And that's from 7 to 8:30. Many other children have signed up for that. We can only take so many this year for the football camp, and that is now closed. But there will be others coming in to join us in the evening. These are the two evangelists. Christina Logan will speak to the 4 to 11-year-olds, the juniors. And Noel Shields will speak to the seniors, those that are 12 and over. We have mentioned the parents' night. You'll see that on the invitation, 7 o'clock next Sunday night. And transport will be provided for the children throughout these days. So will you pray for it, please? Remember in the afternoons we mentioned this morning the epilogues, Monday through to Friday. It's just a little talk after the football part of the day, and using the opportunity of football and what's happening there to bring in some kind of application in the gospel. And I'm sure the children will be able to relate to these things. And you remember those that bring the messages in the afternoons as well as the workers that speak at night. There is a meeting for all of our workers after the church service this evening. For those that are helping, you might be helping on the bus, you might be helping through the day at the football time and then the evening time. If you're part of Youth Challenge this year, we would like you to stay for this information to receive. And if we meet at the front of the church on the piano side, that would be the best place. Tomorrow week is the Sunday school camp from the Monday to the Wednesday, 2 nights away, 3 days of activities. And as we mentioned this morning, all the parents should have received the consent forms in the post. And if not, see Wesley, our Sunday school superintendent. And if there's any outstanding payments to make, please attend to that by next Lord's Day. Pray for Robert McConnell, who will be the speaker throughout at the children's camp. This coming Thursday night, 8 o'clock, is our midweek service, and Greg Gibson will be bringing the message on Thursday night. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, the worship service, 12 noon, will be here to preach. God willing, we'll continue with our study in Mark's Gospel. In the afternoon at 3:30, the venue for the open air is Millbrook, and I hope to be preaching at that. Youth Challenge then, we've mentioned that, Christina coming to speak to the children will also take part at that service, and the prayer meeting is beforehand. We need a little bit of extra help for the supper. We're asking our ladies to provide this by bringing 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns, and if you do that, we will be thankful and we will appreciate that. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings to God's work. The building fund is today, next week is Missionary Council and the School Covenant. Can I make one more announcement regarding our mission? We have a mission every year in the month of September, and we're calling this the Platinum Jubilee Mission, special year, as you know, for Her Majesty, and this will take place in the Town Hall. Never in my time, in just over 25 years, had a mission in the Town Hall, so looking forward to the different venue. And this is organised, of course, by our own church. It will take place from the 11th through to the 25th of September. We will keep our meeting at the usual time, 7 o'clock, for the Sunday night meeting. But through the week, Monday to Friday, the meetings will be at 8 o'clock. There will be special singers coming along to take part. Thank Diane for organising this. Always appreciate that. And of course, everyone's welcome. We mentioned this morning that we're doing a drop through the post office service, and that will take place before the mission, going out into every home in a certain area, the BT53 area. And it's, I think it's 10,000 homes, and we're getting an extra 1,000 leaflets so that we can give them to our friends and family directly into their hands. We need to be in prayer for this mission. Dr. Paisley used to say, much prayer, much blessing, little prayer, little blessing. And that's true. We need to be before the Lord privately and publicly. And we want to commend all the prayer meetings of the church to you between now and then. And then the week before the mission, there'll be a couple of nights of outreach, and then there'll be some nights of prayer as well. These are all the announcements that we need to make. We're singing together 203. This great gospel hymn, Love Lifted Me, reminds us all of what our testimony is. There was a time that we were in our sin. We were far from God. We knew nothing of God's mercy, His grace and love. But God stepped in, and He heard our cry, and He lifted us from our sin, and He brought us to Christ. And it was all through His amazing grace and His love. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Saviour, lifted me. Now safe am I. That is your testimony and mine You're saved tonight. Let's sing it with all of our hearts unto the Lord. I was sinking deep in sin. Let's stand and sing. Could be years since I've asked this question, and I want you to be honest. Who is singing their best? Put your hand up.
About a quarter.
Okay, about a quarter. Thank you for your honesty, especially those that have their hands down. So we're going to sing our best in the final two verses of the hymn. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He, your Saviour, wants to be saved today. It's a great stirring gospel hymn, and it deserves our best effort. And of course, the one that we love and the one that we serve, he deserves our best effort in worship and praise. Let's sing it under Christ's great name. Souls in danger.
Thank you.
Amen. We believe it. How glad we are to welcome again to the pulpit the Reverend Ian Gallagher from Canada. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. Also delighted to welcome his wife, Beulah. And we trust that they feel at home with us here in Hebron. They have family members here, so I'm sure they do feel at home. And they were well looked after this afternoon. Brother, we're going to invite you to come and bring the message for tonight. And may the Lord help you and fill you, give you the needed grace to bring that word. And may all of our hearts be stirred as we listen to the message of the gospel. Thank you, brother. Give you all that room.
Thank you. I have a feeling that at the end of the service, he'll be asking, did I preach as best I could? So I will give it my utmost and use my time well this evening. It is a delight, of course, to be here tonight again. And we're thankful of the fellowship. Helen and Wesley fed us far too well, but we'll try and work that off in the time to come. Tonight we're going to come to the book of Galatians, chapter 2, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read this portion together. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the work faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's unite in prayer a moment. Father, we thank thee for gathering us again on this Lord's Day evening here in this house of worship. We thank thee for the faithful desire of your people to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight that we might be equipped to live more and more unto God, to die more and more unto self and sin, and that you will encourage us to be that people that are peculiar unto the Lord. Help us to depart from the world, to take up the cross, and to follow thee. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we open the word tonight. O gracious God, speak. Speak to young and old. Speak to your people that are pressing on in the narrow way. And speak to those that have come into the wilderness, perhaps. O Lord, grant that they will be drawn to follow thee anew. I pray for help here in the pulpit. O Lord, come, minister to us. Breathe upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we come to take a fresh look at the cross of Christ at Calvary. What a scope of work it is. There was a definite power exerted that day at Calvary when our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, offered up himself as your Redeemer and as our Savior. Now, the power was exerted during the 3 hours of darkness when it was recorded. Even from afar off, men said, God must be suffering. And such was the transaction that took place in our redemption between the Lord Jesus and God the Father, that the world was shut out. The world could not peer inward when that eerie darkness fell upon Mount Calvary. No one could ever enter into that transaction but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know tonight that our salvation is the work of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I have one verse, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, that's the second person of the Trinity, who through the eternal Spirit, that's the third person of the Trinity, offered himself without spot to God, that's the first person of the Trinity. And so all three persons were involved in our redemption from sin and the path to hell. This is the united, cooperative work of all the Godhead. Now that was the crisis day of the world. And what our Lord Jesus did on that cross during those 3 hours from noon to 3 p.m. on Passover A.D. 33 was the great turning point of world history. The Lord himself, in the closing moments of his life on that cross, cried out, "It is finished." And it is really beyond us tonight to take in the scope of what was accomplished. Its impact was heavenward, because by the death of our Lord Jesus, the wrath of God was turned away. We call that propitiation, the turning away of the wrath of God that was due upon our souls. The impact was also hellward, because on that cross, our Lord Jesus defeated Satan, sent him fleeing. And in the language of Colossians, we read, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Now that spoiling is the language of a general conquering his enemy and taking the riches, the spoil of war, and declaring triumph over his enemy. And our Lord Jesus, his impact on the cross was hellward. It was also earthward, because our Lord Jesus, by his death and by his redemption, has redeemed the earth. This world tonight is groaning under the curse of sin. There is toil, blood, sweat, and misery as men eke out a living in this cursed world. Volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, these demonstrate that this world is not at peace. But one day the Lord is going to bring about a new earth and a new heaven, and that purchase or redemption of the earth was also transacted at Calvary. The crosswork was also manward. The whole human race has been affected and changed by that work at the cross. God's wrath, which was upon our Lord Jesus, God's wrath that was poured out upon his son is like a great dam that is held back. And we know that in this world, the sun shines on the good and the wicked. The rain falls upon the righteous and the unrighteous. And that mighty wrath of God is held back. And those who are going about their world today, denying God, blaspheming him, with no time for God or for heaven, they are still being dealt with in mercy until that hour of judgment. Now, lastly, in this list of the impact that our Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross is the impact upon believers. The power of the cross does something mighty and powerful within the souls of all who believe and receive the Lord as their Savior and their Redeemer. I'm going to bring you to this text, Galatians 6 and verse 14. We're really going to try and merge two passages tonight. The passage we read, Galatians 2. But firstly, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And there is the Apostle Paul's testimony. The cross got a hold upon him and it changed him. It took the world out of his heart and it put glory within his soul. If we really want to turn sinful men Godward, to see them saved and changed for heaven, then we must see them brought to the cross. We must see them experience the power of Calvary within their own souls. All the man-made formulas and all the gimmicks of men and man-made religion can do nothing to change the course of man on the broad road. But we believe, as Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. And so this is our focus now, the impact of the cross upon the believer's heart and life. And we're talking about your testimony and mine. What does the cross mean to us this evening? What has it done in us? Has it done this that Paul has spoken of? Now, I have a three-point outline, and I want to give it to you. There may be some note-takers, and you like to get some of these headings down, and perhaps if I just give them to you at this point, they might help in the message. Firstly, the cross is the starting point of our regeneration. Secondly, the cross is the baseline of how to live by faith. And thirdly, the cross is the power line for our repentance from the world. Just think of the starting line, the baseline, and the power line. So it's the starting line for our regeneration. We're going to come back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, there is the new life, the regenerated man, woman, boy, or girl. When does the Christian begin to live spiritually? When we're born again. That is when we are born of the Spirit and we're given a new heart to live a new life. When does that happen? When can you say that you were born again? The Bible teaches us very clearly that this happens the moment that we come as a sinner to the cross. I want you to think on Nicodemus. He had difficulty grasping the meaning of being born again or born from above. He had many questions. How can this be? And as you read through John chapter 3, you will find how the Lord answered him. He said in John 3:14, that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he went on to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So how are we born again? What did the Lord Jesus say to Nicodemus? Is the very starting line of our new birth? Just as those Old Testament people looked by faith to that serpent on a pole, and somehow the healing power began, the poison of within their raging bodies dissipated, and they were spared in life. And Jesus said, just as the serpent was lifted up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that is how we are born again. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And this is our union with him. When Christ died, I died. It's an amazing thing. We died to the world, died to self, died to lust, died to those very things that were in rebellion to God. And when we die with Christ, we're also promised that we shall also live with him or be raised up by him. Now, I want you to notice that this is the Holy Spirit entering into the sinner's heart, and we are washed by the power of the blood. And God has ordained it that all must start their Christian life at the cross. No one was ever born again without faith and confidence in the cross of Christ. There is not one person in the world today or ever truly born again who is ignorant of the death, the cross work, the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Now, when you think about that, it is very far-reaching. There is no true religion in a man's soul if you are not a believer in the cross. Salvation is by faith in the dying, the substitutionary, atoning work of the Lord Jesus in your place. If you neglect the cross, you cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit will not come in. The work of regeneration cannot commence until you come in all your need, in all your spiritual poverty, and take your place at the foot of the cross. And this is the primary work of our evangelism. This is the task that we're sent about, to preach the cross, to tell men and women that there is a Savior who died for them, that there's one who gave his life for our salvation and redemption. At death and on the judgment day, the issue is not How have you lived in your own power? But how have you entered into the power of the cross? Because all saints in heaven are blood-washed saints. All sing of the Lamb and His redeeming love. It was their faith on earth and their full satisfaction in glory. And so away with any religion that is Christless and crossless. And I'm getting to a very important issue. There is a modern version of Christianity, I would even call it a modern version of evangelicalism, that is all about experience. It's about ministry that goes directly to the feelings and to attempt making carnal man happy or find some excitement in religion. But it bypasses the cross. Or I might shave it a little closer. It minimizes the cross. It takes the cross from its central position, and it invites people to a religion of sensuality, of the senses. Now, does that mean that the born-again, blood-washed Christian does not feel anything? No, it doesn't. There is going to be a conviction of sin. And if there's any instrument by which a sinner will feel the horror of his sin, it is by looking to Calvary. If there's any instrument by which a sinner will see hope, new life, it's by accepting that Christ paid the price in his stead or her place, and the redemption transaction has taken place. For all sinners, all roads lead to the cross. Now I have to ask you at this point, have you come? Have you come to be reconciled with God, to enjoy the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, by which He, in your place, hath bridged the great gulf between your soul and the God of heaven? That's called atonement, to make those at enmity or war to be at one. And it begins at the cross. The starting line is the cross. It is that the cross where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Now, if you have a profession of religion that is some other way, I have to call you to the cross. If perhaps you have lost sight of the cross, I have to call you back to the starting point. It's at the cross of Calvary where you begin. We move to number two now, the baseline. The cross is the baseline to receiving grace to live by faith. Now, what I mean by baseline, it is the lowest possible point. You cannot go any lower than this. Now, I want to read with you Galatians 2, verse 20. The apostle said, "And the life that I now live," the life that I now live, this is the impact of the cross upon the Christian's life. The life that you're now living, the new life, the life as a professing Christian, how do you do it? I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that means the whole scope of His redemption. I live by what He has done. I live by what He has accomplished in my place. And so the power for Christian living is to live with your heart and your soul fixed on the cross continually, each and every day. And therein is the secret of Christian living. In the Old Testament, the constant worship of the people was the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. For decades, for centuries, God was teaching his people, there's only one way of fellowship. There's only one way of living for God. It is the way of the sacrifice. When you get to the New Testament, the book of Acts, you'll find that they gathered daily, praising the Lord and breaking of bread. There was a constant looking to the death, the cross work of the Lord Jesus. Now that is our communion. That is where we take that bread and that cup to remind us of the suffering Savior. Why is the Christian church commanded to so remember the Lord constantly? Because God would always bring us back to Calvary, back to that baseline, that starting point. Some people want to get a religion that runs way ahead and looking to many other quirky things. Our faith, our gospel, our life as a Christian is to be lived in the power of the cross. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I know that in this church, the cross is preached. The blood of redemption is pleaded in prayer, is pleaded in worship, and sinners are called to faith in Christ. I have that absolute confidence. Let me ask you about your own personal devotions, your own prayer life, your own Bible reading, your family gathering around the Bible. Do you miss the cross? Or do you plead the victory and the triumph of Calvary in your daily life? Father and mother, as children go out to school, and who knows the temptations and the awful worldly powers that will be upon them? Have you gone to the cross on their behalf and prayed with them, pleading Calvary? The Bible's a wonderful book, but there are patches in the Bible where there's history, there's narrative, there's people character studies. But in your walk with God, you need to get to the cross to live in its victory. All the victory of the Christian life comes from Christ's victory at Calvary. Let me give you one big example, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's Christian living, and this is the baseline now we're talking about. This new life, the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God. And the call to the Christian is to be holy as he is holy. How are we going to do that? And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, God sees and knows how we live, how we talk, how we speak. Pass this time of your sojourning here in fear. It's not a matter of being saved and then go careless. We're to live in the fear of God. We are to strive for that high calling, to press toward the mark of holiness. And then it tells us in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with things that such as silver and gold from your vain conversation." Well, I must not miss out the word corruptible things, things that are other than the blood of Christ, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now, why did the Apostle Peter bring up this matter of the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot? After the appeal, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Because the Christian life is not a list of how-tos. It's not a list of principles. It's not a list of seven steps to victory and you live in triumphant life with God. The Christian life is tapping into the victory of Calvary. Our holiness, our renouncing of the world, and our transformation to live a new life, the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God, is to come again to Calvary. Your prayer life will be revolutionized if you go through the Bible in your Bible reading and mark those texts that call you to focus on the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus, and then pray over them. I dare you to do it before you sleep tonight. I dare you to do it in the morning as you start your new day. Get a portion of the Bible that expounds and explains the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And pray this prayer: "Lord, let your victory flow into my life. Let me now live the new life, the life of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I assure you that you will know power in your soul. The cross is not just the starting line to be saved, to be redeemed, to be regenerated. It's the baseline for Christian living. And then we come to see that it's the power line to overcome the world. We're going to go back now to Galatians 6 and verse 14. I know I'm merging two separate texts, but they are on the same theme. And Galatians 6, 14 says, "By whom the world is crucified unto me," by which the world is put to death, "and I unto the world." What a wonderful thing. And this is the battle we're in as Christians, young people. As you face your young life in school and higher education, getting out into what we call the world of work world, business world, travel, wherever life may take you, the battle is on. The world is like a great magnet that will seek to destroy you and crush you. Have you ever seen a scrap metal yard where that crane goes to work with its magnet dropping down, and perhaps an old rusty car. And when that iron hits the car, the magnet is switched on, and the hum of the magnet begins to lift it into the air. And it swings around, and it drops that vehicle into a crusher or into a vehicle for transport. That magnet has mighty power. The world is a magnet. And how the devil so often operates is that he attacks suddenly, just like a switch. And you may be living in relative victory and freedom from attacks, and then suddenly hell erupts against you. Here is the way to overcome the world. Here is the way to triumph. It is by the cross. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me. This call to the Christian life is more than a momentary decision. It's all our days till death and glory. Have you ever met someone who regrets becoming a Christian and said, I wish I hadn't started down this path, the narrow way? The price is too much. The temptations are too strong. Well, we must then live constantly in the power of the cross. Because what is described as the sorrow of the world won't do it. The cross is the power line of our repentance over the world. It's like the electric current that comes into your home. It powers everything. And when that power is off, and even though by habit we go around flicking switches and so on, nothing happens. You cannot live a new life of repenting over the world and living unto God without the power of the cross. The sorrow of the world will only work bitterness, but gospel sorrow works sweetness. The power of the world hardens hearts, but the gospel sorrow softens hearts. The world works suspicion of God. The cross works surrender to God. The world works rebellion, but the cross works reconciliation. The world feels the reproach of the cross, but the cross of Calvary delights in the cross. Do you tonight have the sorrow of the world or the sorrow that is called gospel sorrow, the sorrow of the cross? You know that text in Zechariah, they shall look upon whom they have pierced and mourn. Repentance comes from the cross. Has it begun in your heart tonight? Are you wondering how you're going to get the victory over the world and sin? 48 years ago, in 2 weeks' time, I came as a young man to this church on this site. On that Sunday evening, the Reverend Kenneth Elliott was the preacher. And I remember afterwards the impact of that message he had preached on the blood of Christ not only has power to save, but to keep. And that message was for me. That was my problem. If I became a Christian, how could I keep it? How could I change? How could I give up the worldly things I knew I needed to give up? How could I live as a Christian? I remember sitting out in the car. I was deeply troubled, and the battle was on. And it was a week later in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church when the Reverend Reggie Cranston was preaching. And halfway through that sermon, I wanted desperately to be saved. And that was the night that I was born again. What can a Christian do without the cross? Paul said, God forbid. Don't let it ever be that I should glory or boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus. I tremble for professing Christians that sit under a crossless ministry. You listen in, and over this pandemic, we've had opportunity to listen in to all kinds of church ministries that have had to go online. And you can get the Anglican and the Lutheran and the Presbyterian, and you can get so many. I'm talking now Canada in my experience. And I've listened in to churches that I drive by and have no idea what kind of ministry is going on in there. But it is fearful that people are left without a ministry that leads men and women to the cross. Tonight you are called to the cross. It's the starting line of our regeneration. It's the baseline of living by faith. It's the power line of repentance and victory. Is that the gospel that you are seeking? Is that good enough for you? What victory the Lord Jesus gives through the power of the cross. I'm here tonight as a testimony that the cross changes us. And every day living near the cross is a day of grace and power in our soul. But a day without the cross, we go back to our weakness. O believer, keep looking to the cross. O sinner, come tonight to the cross. Boys and girls, young people, there's a new life, a powerful life for you. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is not a promise that God's going to make your life rich and wealthy and healthy. But it's the promise of victory over the world and over your sin. Come to the cross tonight. Believe on our Lord Jesus. Look to the hands that are scarred with the very wounds of Calvary. Look at the brow that was crushed with thorns. See the man who died in your place. See the blood crimson red in redeeming love for your soul. Look to the cross. And I say with Paul, God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May the Lord speak on through his word tonight to your heart. May the Lord be gracious to save. Reverend Park, do you want to come and close the service tonight?
I suspect you came to church tonight as I did, with a prayer in your heart, Lord, speak to me. And the Lord has spoken. And we're very thankful for that message that has brought us to the cross. May we ever live in the light of it. May it be the start line, the baseline, and may it be the power line of all of our lives. That's a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank you for these tremendous statements of the apostle when he wrote to the Galatian church, written so many centuries ago and yet so mightily up to date for us. Help us to live in the light of Calvary. Help us to know the victory every day over sin, the world, and the flesh. Help us, Lord, to triumph through the blood of our Savior. And may we know that power in our lives every day. For those that are not saved tonight, they need to get to the start point. They need to get to Christ and Him crucified. They need to get beneath the blood. Lord, lead them to Calvary and save their precious soul for your honor and glory. In Christ's name. Amen. 263 is the closing hymn this evening. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Thank you.
Father, we thank thee for the victory of this hymn. Thank thee for the message again, and we thank thee for the cross. Help us to leave with these truths that are living truths in our hearts, that they may do us good in the week to come and well beyond. Help us to live in the light of the cross. And we pray that you'll bless this congregation of people. You know their hearts, you know their need. You know every child of God tonight. You know those that perhaps have just a profession of faith and nothing more. They've never truly been to the cross. They've never truly had their sins washed away. Bring them to Calvary tonight. And for those that are professed sinners, they know they're not saved. They know they're apart from God. They've never been to Jesus for the cleansing power. They've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, may this be the night when they will enclose with the offer of God's grace and find Christ as their Savior. Lead them to Calvary, we pray. Separate us now with your blessing, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.